Cougar fans, it is time.
Touchdown! What a grab!
It's time to raise your colors, raise your voice, and join in on the raucous roundtable about your favorite team, the BYU Cougars.
20, 15, 10, 5, touchdown!
It's time to tailgate. Cougar Tailgate, where BYU sports fandom lives. And here's your host, Lauren McClain.
What's up, Cougar Nation? I'm Lauren McClain, and we're here to tailgate with you doing what we do best, talking all things BYU Cougars. Joining me today, we have BYU TV sports producer Hema Hemuli. What's up, Hema?
Malo lele.
And BYU radio student producer and insider for the Daily Universe, Carter Bond.
How you doing?
What's up, Carter? Thank you so much for coming on, guys. Fall camp started on Tuesday for the BYU football team, so we're going to dive into our top five questions heading into the preseason practices. Who will, number one, who will the starting quarterback be? This is the one that everyone's talked about incessantly, probably too much, but what else do you talk about at this time of year, right? You got to talk about it. Is it Gary Bohannon? Is it Jake Retzlaff? Western Michigan transfer Trayson Borgay? Utah State transfer McKay Hillstead in the mix? And I want to start with you, Hema. Would it be bad for BYU to go with a two-quarterback approach like they did back in 2010?
I'm not a big fan of the dual quarterbacks thing, mostly because you tend to have two quarterbacks that have like very different styles, and I feel like it makes it a little bit slower to mesh with everybody on the team. Could be wrong. Could be just like a, I don't know, superstition that I have or something like that. But I'm not a big fan of the dual quarterback thing. So, yeah, I do think that would be bad.
Yes. BYU Sports Nation had Brandon Doman on, and I liked the point that he made because he was the coach during that time with Jake Heaps and Riley Nielsen, and he said they need to pick – well, he said the coaches probably have already picked somebody, most likely, but they're just letting the guys kind of have that battle. And he said that because there are so many transfers coming in now, you don't have that consistency year in and year out with the same guys. So you almost can't have a quarterback battle because they already don't have that consistency with the team. You got to pick a guy that they can rally behind and really get used to the team. So hopefully the coaches can do that as quickly as possible. What do you think, Carter?
Oh, I don't like the two quarterback approach whatsoever. I think the biggest problem with it, I agree with everything Hema said, but also both quarterbacks play super tight. They play scared football. They don't want to make mistakes. You want your quarterback to be loose, throwing the ball, be confident. It just kills confidence whenever you go with a two-quarterback approach, especially when you have guys that are, you know, play similar styles at the quarterback position. Then they can get pulled at any moment.
Yeah, one mistake I make and I'm done.
Exactly.
I'm out. As of right now, who do you guys want starting or having the starting job for the Cougars on week one, Emma?
I'm just going to say Gary Bohannon. I think he has the edge, a slight edge, with the leadership factor. He's got more experience at the Power 5 level. So I would say Gary. By the way, this is like a throwback to like Parks and Rec. I keep wanting to say Jerry Bohannon. I can't decide in my head if it's Jerry or Gary.
You just need to start that and then call him Barry and then all these Larry.
It's actually Larry. I'm like, what?
Yeah. What do you think, Carter? Who's going to be starter week one?
It feels like it's Jake's job. And since he knows the offense, he knows A-Rod. He seems like he's A-Rod's guy. I'd like to see both eventually. You know, it doesn't seem like we're going to win the national title this year. So at some point, let's see both quarterbacks. I want to see how they play. But I would lean towards Jake.
I would not be surprised if we saw all four of those quarterbacks
would not
at
be
some
at
point
sure.
this
yeah.
season. Truly. Yeah. And one thing that's great is they all have experience. So I don't think whoever you throw in there is going to completely make everything tumble down, you know? A lot of experience there, but hopefully someone rises to the top and quickly. Number two question is the offensive line, and can they drastically improve from last season? 2023 offensive line underperformed. They had a second-round NFL draft pick, but still didn't play well. They have a new coach in T.J. Woods, returners Braden Keim, Waylon Lapuaho, Caleb Etienne and Connor Pay, and they added some transfer guys as well. Hema, do you think the O-line is going to drastically improve this season?
I'm going to say yes. I'm a big believer in T.J. Woods. I think I think his biggest challenge will be if he can get Caleb Etienne to like where we the potential that we see in him, right?
Yeah. The potential we see, like literally physically staring at him. Uh-huh. Yeah, he's scary.
100%.
Yeah, I remember when you interviewed him last fall camp on this show, and we're sitting there looking at each other like, how is this guy not an NFL first round pick?
Yeah.
He is huge. I agree. I think it will improve. I think the offensive line is going to be great. TJ Woods, you only hear positive things. I mean, you feel like you always only hear positive things during fall camp for any new coach or anything, but you only hear positive things. And I actually think this is the most important question going into this season. I think the quarterback question's the sexy question, but all of our problems last season stem from the offensive line. I feel so bad for Keaton Slovis. I feel like he got a raw deal here at BYU because the offensive line was so bad. He was just given no chance. And when you have such a bad offensive line like that, it becomes a question of when you're going to get hurt, not what if you get hurt. And obviously that happened with Keaton, and I feel bad for him, and that needs to be the number one thing addressed this offseason.
That's what's such a head scratcher is the offensive line had so much talent.
Sure.
They had so much talent. In fact, they were like the most talked about position group going into that 2023 season mm-hmm. was the offensive line. It's like, oh, that's the one we don't have to worry about. Sure. And that ended up being the Achilles heel. Well, one of the Achilles heels of the football team last season.
I do think that we need to be clear. Like we do. I do think, you know, Connor Pay, Braden Keim, Waylon Lapuaho, those are some very talented dudes. And I think the schemes that were used didn't utilize their talents effectively, didn't use our running back talent effectively last season. And with the coming of Coach Woods, I'm hoping that we'll be able to remedy that stuff very quickly and see a drastic improvement, because traditionally BYU's had a great offensive line historically. Mm-hmm. And I don't think that was shown last season, but this season I have a lot of hopes that it'll happen.
Connor Pay recently said, there's a different level of mental acuity required with Coach Woods' system. That's kind of forced everyone to step up their game mentally. I think that's going to pay dividends in the fall. This group in particular is open to all the opportunities to learn more. We're not stuck or set in our ways. We want to get better every day. That's something I've noticed big time in the offseason. People are more willing to work. So, I mean, that's saying a lot. I hope that comes to fruition, and I truly think it will. I don't know if it's going to be a gigantic step. I think it could be, mm-hmm. but I think definitely there's going to be you can only go up.
Yeah. I mean, I think our O-linemen pulling out words like mental acuity, which I have no idea what that means, is a good sign. I think they're going to be mentally ready for whatever happens.
Those offensive line, there's some smart guys.
Yeah.
There's some smart guys. All right, question number three. Going into fall camp, will the defense continue to improve in Jay Hill's second year as defensive coordinator? BYU was not great on defense last season. They were sub 100 in most categories. BYU was soft up the middle. Will BYU have a pass rush? And honestly, without Ben Bywater, if he isn't healthy, who's going to be your playmaker? I feel like there's a lot of questions on the defensive side coming into the season. Hema, do you think the defense is going to improve under Jay Hill's second season?
I think they will, because I believe Jay Hill's just that good of a coach. He's that guy. But you're right. There's a lot of question marks on the defensive side. Let's start with like my favorite part. I want to talk about, you know, how much having Micah Harper back is going to shore up that defensive backfield. I think that's not like the end of all our problems, because you look at the safeties and the corners and it's still a very young room, right? But to have Micah Harper back to lead that defensive backfield, I think is going to be key. Having linebackers, like, so we talk about Ben Bywater, right? Isaiah Glasker had a lot of playing time last year. Harrison Taggart, I'm high on Harrison Taggart. I think they'll be able to fill those roles nicely. And then we got young linebackers, you know, like the Kofusis, who played had some playing time last year, who I'm very high on, that I think will do really well. But it's just having those mainstay pieces that have played lots of games. That will be the most important part. And having Micah Harper back, I think, will shore up a lot of those problems.
But I like that you mentioned Micah Harper as a leader, because can one guy completely change everything on the defensive side? No, but the fact that there's these younger guys there watching him, like, he is the leader, right? And you take him away last season. with the season-ending injury, and that you could see what that did. And so to have him back as the leader, I think, will be huge.
For sure. And Jay Hill's defense is, like, he asks a lot of his DBs. He asks them to run stuff. He asks them to contain and, like, not only playing their, you know, passing roles that they need to do, and having Micah Harper and, like, Jacob Robinson, who are those dudes, be there leading those groups. Because, like I said, those are young rooms. I think that'll be help out a lot of the problems that we saw last year.
Right. What do you think, Carter?
I hope so. You know, it's a I believe in Jay Hill. I think Jay Hill's a phenomenal coach, like everything Hema mentioned. But it just becomes a matter of you pray and you hope it gets better. But, you know, you're looking from a fan's perspective and you look at the defense, there's a lot of question marks, and it can make you feel uneasy looking at this season going in.
Yeah. I like the defensive line. That's one that I feel solid about. A lot of returning starters. I like Jack Kelly. I mean, maybe Jack Kelly ends up being a big playmaker that can replace Ben Bywater if he doesn't come back healthy. I don't know. I think there are some pieces that can make a difference. I would like a little bit more depth, a little bit more security there. But, hey, you don't always get what you want. We'll see what happens. Question number four, can the receivers step up this year and play a pivotal role? Returning receivers, guys. Everyone is back. Lots of talent and speed. Darius Lassiter, Kalen Marion, Cody Epps, Chase Roberts, Parker Kingston, JoJo Phillips. That's a lot of guys with experience coming back. BYU offensive coordinator Aaron Roderick thinks his receivers can get open fast, make plays in the short passing game, make a catch, and rely on the yards after catch to move the ball. Is that a winning game plan, Hema?
I think our receiver core is the strongest room on the offensive side. Like, I think all those guys are solid. All those guys could start. For me, the question is, who's going to throw to them? Like, who's throwing to them?
Yeah.
Right? Like, and that's, I don't know, it kind of bleeds into the sexy question of quarterbacks. Yeah. But, like, I'm very confident in our receiving room. Just, you know, depends on how we use them. You know, you think about, we had Puka Nacua on our team, and, like, he was kind of underutilized while he was here. So, to answer your question, I'm very comfortable with the receiving core. Let's see who throws to him.
Right.
100% agree once again. I think this receiving core is fantastic. I think they're all ridiculously talented players. It's just who's going to throw to them. Can they get open? Is the quarterback going to have enough time to throw to them so they can catch the deep ball? We'll see.
Yeah, and will there be a deep threat?
Yeah.
Which of those guys would you say is going to be the biggest deep threat for BYU?
I don't know, probably Chase.
Yeah.
Chase, to me, seems like a guy that can run all the routes. But, you know, Darius Lassiter's not, like, he can run a deep route as good as any of them. So, yeah.
Kalen Marion. I feel like some of these guys that were brand new, Darius Lassiter, Kalen Marion, they're going to be even more familiar with BYU's playbook than they were last season. I heard that there was just some confusion. There was just a lot of confusion on the offensive side of the ball last year. So hopefully with a lot of the same people coming back, which, I don't know, you could talk a lot about that, right? Because you could be like, we got the same guys. You know, like, is that good or is that bad? The good side of it is they are now more familiar, another year under their belt, with the playbook and with the offense. So hopefully it can iron out a few of those mistakes that, honestly, some of them were game changers.
Yeah.
Right.
And you could argue that, like, perhaps we didn't give them enough time to run their routes last season.
Right.
With the O-line play. You can also, I like to think about the perspective of, like, our running back room too. Like, I think our running back room is pretty strong, like, not as deep as in years past, but I think they're pretty strong, which should help out our passing game, you know, in the long run. So, yeah, I'm high on these guys, but we'll see what happens.
Which brings me to our question number five. Can BYU get the run game going? Rumor has it LJ Martin has added 20 pounds. Hinkley Ropati is back after last season's ACL injury. Miles Davis is in the mix for playing time. Do we believe BYU can get to that powerful 21-22 run game, or will it be similar to last season? Carter, what do you think?
I think it's somewhere in that middle ground. I don't think it's going to be as great as it was when Algier was here, you know, running all over teams. But it can't get worse than last season, and you got to be able to run the ball, because last season, you know, the run game wasn't there, and so the offense became so predictable at times. So I would say it's somewhere in that middle ground, but I definitely think it improves dramatically.
are we comfortable with the guys that we have? Hem, are you comfortable with those three? LJ Martin, Hinkley, Rapati, Miles Davis is carrying most of the run game load.
I am actually. I think LJ Martin is showing to be a very dynamic runner. He just needed to put on some more pounds, which sounds like he did. I think last season he averaged like 4.8 yards a carry or something like that, which is ridiculous. And then Miles Davis, in the very few games he played, he averaged about 4.8, 4.9 as well. Hinkley, before he got injured, was averaging over 5, which is pretty good. I think, you know, very good. I'm pretty comfortable with those guys. I think, you know, they just need to tighten the screws a little bit. You know, Hinkley needs, like, with his, he's had some fumbling issues in the past. I think if he shores those up, he'll be a dynamic and great runner. Physical runner, LJ Martin, if he can stay healthy and if those pounds are good pounds, like, he can learn how to run more physically. With his burst of speed, I think he'll be a dynamic runner. And then Miles Davis, I've heard good things. I haven't seen it for myself, but hey, if you got three core running backs that are really good, I think your running back room is pretty healthy.
All right, guys, when we come back, Hema and Carter will break down Big 12 Media Days with their biggest takeaways, and we'll play buy or sell. This is Cougar Tailgate. Welcome back to Cougar Tailgate. I'm Lauren McClain with Hema Haymooley and Carter Bond. The Cougars were picked to finish 13th out of the 16 teams in the new Big 12. Both of you guys were down in Vegas for Big 12 Media Days a few weeks ago. Carter, let's start with you. What were some of your biggest takeaways while you were there?
It was cool having the four corner schools there with Utah, Arizona, Arizona State, Colorado. Obviously, we all know the machine Coach Prime in Colorado is. One of the cool takeaways, I'm sure everyone saw the quote where Shedeur Sanders was like, "This everyone's Super Bowl is against Colorado," essentially. And I was going to ask you guys, do you agree with it?
No, I don't.
No way.
I think it's more of like, oh, it's really cool that we get a...
I don't think he's that off.
What? Really?
I don't
Carter?
Think he's... Because they put such a huge target on their back. I mean, if you're looking at the Big 12 schedule, you're kind of like, I'm ready for that Colorado game. That's going to be nationally televised. That's going to be probably each team's most watched game of the year. That's one they're kind of looking forward to and being like, we want to beat the crap out of Colorado. I don't think it's that crazy of a quote. Now, like, when they're like, oh, we're this good, we're going to win the Big 12, I don't agree with that at all. I think that's crazy.
See. So, like, from a spectacle.
Yeah, I agree with that.
It's like, this is where we're getting the most publicity is this game.
Yeah.
That makes more sense. He almost made it sound like we are the ones that are going to be so good. Everyone wants to beat us.
Yeah, true.
I don't know. I don't agree with that. Obviously, Colorado's not on BYU's schedule, but Utah is. Utah will always and forever be BYU Super Bowl. It's just, I mean, never going to be true for BYU. What were some of your biggest takeaways?
Oh, it was hot. It was so hot. That is the only thing that I can think of from Media Days was how
miserable. You don't remember anything else?
No, it's the spectacle thing kind of goes along with my biggest takeaway, too. Like, we were lucky enough to have Coach Prime on BYU Sports Nation while we were there. We were lucky to have lots of good guests on Sports Nation, but like there was always just a mass and a crowd around Prime wherever he went in the stadium.
Yep.
You could tell where he was because there's like a glob of people, right? And he's just got that aura or whatever about him, and he had a lot of great things to say about Kalani and about Tom Holmo and stuff like that. And so I thought that was really cool that I would say like the BYU brand is like strong there, but not in like a, I don't know, like not a negative, like Texas-y way. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yes.
Like people respected BYU as people, as professionals, like even though we're ranked 13th in the places.
Well, that's why they're so nice, right? Yeah. It's like, oh BYU, you guys are so great.
What's kind of funny about Big 12 Media Days, I don't know if you felt this way too, is BYU's finished pick 13th. I think Colorado, what, was like 10 or something like that. The most amount of media members at each table were BYU and Colorado during media days. I mean, the BYU table was almost always packed, and then obviously Colorado, like you said, there was just a mob walking around the stadium. There was like media members taking selfies with Coach Prime and stuff. You're like, this is crazy.
Yeah.
Why do you think that is about BYU? Why do you think BYU had the most
national brand? Yeah. A lot of people want to. It's not just a local thing like a lot of universities. It's truly a national brand, and there's a lot of people hungry for BYU sports content.
I think also, like, we talked about this in this, like, gala we did for the 100-year season. But Kalani, when he did his, like, big presser where he's, like, in front of, like, everybody, you know, he openly and quickly talked about his beliefs and his testimony of Jesus Christ, which is, like, you hear Jesus Christ in Raider Stadium, yeah. and yeah. it's like everyone just goes quiet like, and like looks at where he's at. I think it's just BYU's brand, cool. but also they're distinctive, right? Mm-hmm. It's like we're a peculiar people, and yep. people at Big 12 Media like could sense that. And I think that's why Coach Prime said such good things about Kalani, because it's just his personality.
Right.
You know?
All right. Well, putting the brand of BYU aside, from what you guys saw with the players that came and the talent that was coming from the Big 12 in those media days, do you think BYU is in as much trouble as Vegas has predicted?
I'm going to say no. And I don't know if this is a blue goggle take or not. But I also, like, part of me knows that, like, Vegas is always right.
Yeah, that's, yeah. That's what I was going to say.
Which
I was
is like but I just think, you know, like, we were one of the few teams that didn't bring our quarterback.
Yep.
We were one of the few teams that, like, I don't know. It's, I'm not, again, I won't say that we're in trouble, because I think there's a certain quality of, like, BYU and its players that you can't really measure. So I don't know. For me, it's like a wait and see sort of thing.
But yeah,
I won't say that. No, in trouble. Like, that's kind of, yeah.
I'm not gonna go on the record and say Vegas is always right. I mean, they're always right. So yeah, and not bringing the quarterback is another thing to media days. But the other, like, to the blue goggle side and the positive spin zone about this is, BYU is so much better as the underdog. Anytime, you know, BYU goes 3-0, 4-0, everyone's like, all right, are we thinking Big 12 title game? You know, are we thinking, what are we thinking here? And then you lose one game to Kansas, and then everything comes crumbling down, and all of a sudden you're like, wait, we're 5-7? Yeah. What happened?
Yeah.
It's dumb, too, like, because I don't like to play this, like, moral wins game or whatever. But yeah. we lost a lot of games last season towards the end of the game, and we yeah. held we hung in there pretty close, like Oklahoma, for example,
and just
right?
in silly ways too.
Yeah,
it was really just a handful of plays, singular plays, that made the difference in a lot of those games.
And we're getting a lot of those teams in Provo this year, so like there's another like wrinkle in the system that you can think about and hope that it turns out differently. But yeah, although Vegas is always right, so
if BYU wants to be ever the top of the conference, that you almost have to let go of that underdog mentality. You can't have that. Like, even because yeah. I heard a Utah fan talking about this, that Utah used to have that mentality. They thrived off that mentality as the underdog until they became the top of the Pac-12. And then you have to completely mentally, you have to shift, right? You can't always do that. It's just not, it's right. only going to take you so far.
That's true.
It's kind of like you said, Carter, mm-hmm. like then you start winning and then it's like, wait, we're not the underdog anymore. Too, you know,
but I think that narrative is kind of changing, because like I think the underdog mentality kind of comes from years of independence where we're yeah. going on the road and playing Ole Miss or going to Mississippi State or stuff like
yeah,
that,
and you're always trying to prove that BYU is a Power Five mm-hmm. football school.
Yeah,
but now we're Power Five. Now we're here. Things are evening out, right? Like we're getting more money for specifically for sports. Like I think we're in that transition. So like you know,
yeah,
we do still need to change. I think you're absolutely right, but I think in years past, we literally were the
underdogs. Yeah, always. Yeah. in every game.
And
yeah.
to your point, Utah struggled initially when they joined the Pac-12 mm-hmm. as well. So I think it's kind of that similar transition.
Yeah, 5-7. I think Coach Whittingham was 8-5, right? In their very first season in the Pac-12, and then back-to-back seasons, 5-7. Mm-hmm. So you got to hang in there. But here's BYU's conference schedule. Here we go. Kansas State at home. Baylor on the road, Oklahoma State and Arizona at home, UCF and Utah on the road, Kansas at home, Arizona State on the road, then back to Provo for the final game against Kansas. How many of those teams are in the top five of the conference? This is going to be really tough road for BYU, which is exciting. So outside of the Utah game, Carter, we'll start with you. Which Big 12 game are you most excited about this season?
I'll go with Arizona because there's a little bit of history there, and Noah Fifita is a great quarterback, and I feel like that'll just be a great atmosphere in Provo. Hopefully it's a night game, and it can just, you know, most games are going to be a night game because of the TV contracts and whatnot, but I'll go with Arizona.
Yeah. Arizona will be fun. I'm excited for K-State. Yeah. I think that'll be a good one. Like, again, it's another tough team. Like, we're celebrating the 96 jerseys this year. Mm-hmm. Like, K-State's going to be fun.
Yeah, K-State's going to be – I mean, what a test for BYU, right? It's at home, which is awesome. It's the second-best team in the Big 12. I think they're maybe the first above Utah, in my own opinion. I just think let's just get going. Yeah. Let's not ease ourselves in. Let's go. And I think it'll be a fantastic game. Year two of being in a Power Four conference for BYU, will more familiarity with this level of play and the teams in the Big 12 change anything for the Cougars this season, Hema?
Absolutely. I think that's the biggest thing with last year being the first year in a Power Four conference was like, we were used to playing Power Four competition, but not back to back to back to back to back.
Yes.
And like we said, we played tough a lot of those games and lost in the end of those competitions. And like, now it's a matter of like, how do we stop the momentum in the middle of the season, you know, to lose five straight, whatever it was, like that is typical of like a new power team, right? So in year two, like hopefully there's some solutions of like how we stop that kind of trend.
You know, right.
Whether it's we win, lose, win, lose, win, lose. Like, I'm cool with that as long as it's not a streak of losses, right?
Right.
And we just need to learn how to do that.
Yeah, it was five in a row. What do you think, Carter?
100% agree. I think this year they understand the physicality of it week in and week out where, hey, this is the level I need to be at. At some points last season they were not at that level. And so I think it can bring a different change going into fall camp and going into the season.
The only two teams from last season that they're playing again are Oklahoma State and Kansas, but I agree that it's just more about the level of play, less about the teams, which you got to get used to because with 16 teams possibly adding more to the Big 12, you're going to be playing different teams year in and year out. So you just got to get used to playing at that high level regardless of who you are playing. All right, we're going to play a quick buy or sell. Here's number one, buy or sell. Jake Retzlaff will be the week one starter. Hema.
I'll buy that. I think because I know I said Gary Bohannon.
Yeah, you did.
It's going to be like the starter plays a few snaps, then Gary's going to play a few snaps. Then, yep. I mean, it's Southern Illinois, right?
Yeah.
Like, we're going to try out a bunch of guys, I think. A lot of freshmen are going to play. So I'm going to buy that.
Okay.
Bye. I think it's the easy, I think it's, you know, the safe solution if you're A-Rod and this coaching staff. I think Jake's starting week one. I'll buy that.
But let's just all take a look back to 2023 where BYU won 14-0 only in game one. Okay, yeah. So saying they're going to be throwing in different players, we don't
game.
Know.
I don't recall.
Hey, it was a shutout.
Yeah, Jay Hill, shout out.
Yeah, shout out. Oh, my gosh. Okay, buy or sell, BYU will be 3-0 going into Big 12 play. Southern Illinois, SMU, and Wyoming, buy or sell.
I'm going to buy it because we have to.
Yeah. You are just throwing that out in the universe because it has to happen. Buy or sell, Carter?
I'll be the Debbie Downer. I'm gonna sell it. I think at SMU or at Wyoming.
Yeah, those are gonna be tricky.
Those are tricky.
Yeah, so I'm gonna sell it.
I'm still mad we're going to Laramie.
Yeah, what?
Are you making the trip? Are you gonna make the trip to Laramie?
No way. Even if they wanted me to, I'm not going to Laramie. Ugh.
You're taking on LaVille's motto. Everything's terrible in Laramie. Yeah. All right, buy or sell. One of the wide receivers will step up in a Puka Nacua-type role.
Yeah, I can see that. We're going to need a guy. We're going to need a guy to depend on that can make a catch if we need a catch. I think the same way, like, we need a guy in the running back room that we need 3 yards, give us 3 yards. We're going to need someone like that to survive this season.
Yeah. What do you think?
I'll buy it, too. I think they got to find someone they can rely on and say, okay, go make a play, go get open on third down. So I agree. I'll buy it.
By yourself, BYU will average 150-plus rushing yards per game this season. It would put them at about 70th in the country as opposed to 300-something like they were last season. Emma, buy or sell?
I'm going to sell that one.
All right, Carter?
Quick sell. Yep, sell. Short the stock.
I'm going to buy it. Just in spite of you guys. All right, buy or sell. BYU should have gotten another running back in the portal like they have the last few seasons, and Tyson Williams, Chris Brooks, and Aiden Robbins by yourself.
So the question is, we should have.
Yeah, BYU, you should have.
Bye. Yeah.
Yeah.
Bye.
Agreed. Yeah. Carter, by yourself.
Bye. It can't hurt to have another talented running back, I guess. But
I actually was very surprised that didn't happen. Yeah. That's kind of what BYU has been doing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But you know what? It didn't happen, so we'll see what happens. Okay, you guys are amazing. That does it for us today. Thanks again to Hemehe Mooley and Carter Bond for coming on the show with me. Carter Bond and Tori Kimball helped produce this episode with senior producer Terry South. You can join the Cougar Tailgate wherever you get your podcasts, on Apple, TuneIn, Stitcher, Spotify, or on BYUradio.org. Cougar Tailgate is a production of BYU Radio.